This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Eaton Vance High Yield ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find smart bond selection from a specialized team with deep fixed income expertise. Get to know what's inside EVHY, the symbol of high yield done right, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
The United Auto Workers Union expands strikes at General Motors and Stellantis, but spares Ford.
This is not as big of a strike as if the union shut down the company's major assembly plants with a walkout. Those have really hit the company profits. So this is an escalating step, but not really the sharpest tool that the union has.
And federal prosecutors indict New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez and his wife in a bribery scheme. Plus, how a rebound in immigration comes to the U.S. economy's aid. It's Friday, September 22nd. I'm Pierre Bien-Aimé for The Wall Street Journal, sitting in for Anne-Marie Fertoli. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The United Auto Workers Union sent another 5,600 members out on strike today at General Motors and Chrysler parent Stellantis. The action expands its work stoppage to auto parts distribution centers that supply dealerships. The union spared Ford from additional walkouts, saying it was making progress on contract talks. UAW President Sean Fain said during a live stream address that the action targets 38 auto parts distribution centers across 20 states. The UAW has been bargaining with the companies for more than 2 months on a new four-year labor contract. This latest move brings the total number of UAW members on strike to more than 18,000. Nora Eckert is reporting on this ongoing story. So, Nora, what will be the effect of this latest move?
What we do know right now is that this is going to hit consumers in a much more direct way than the last round of strikes did. So these parts distribution centers directly feed into dealerships. And just as dealer lots are being replenished with more vehicle inventory, this might inhibit the ability to get those vehicles to consumers. So for car shoppers right now, it won't be an immediate effect, but in the coming weeks, there could see higher vehicle prices and lesser availability on the lots in general. This is not as big of a strike as if the union shut down the company's major assembly plants with a walkout. Those have really hit the company profits. So this is an escalating step, but not really the sharpest tool that the union has.
What made the union spare Ford in particular?
So Ford made some progress on talks this week, and they were spared by the union, which is a pretty unusual approach for this union, which has been very combative with the companies. So the union said that Ford agreed to reinstate cost of living adjustments for its members, which was a key benefit that was suspended in 2009, and the union has really been fighting for the return of it. They've also secured enhanced profit sharing and the right to strike over plant closures, which is a small part of these agreements, but very key to members. We don't yet have details on how things are going with pay. The last we saw, Ford and the union had quite a gap between their pay proposals, and the company says that it will still have to hash those out going forward in order to reach a deal.
And what are the companies saying?
This expanded strike is actually coming on the heels of quite an explosive night in Detroit. Some messages from the union's communications director leaked in the last day or so, and those messages revealed that the union strategy, this person stated, was to wound the company for months. GM and Stellantis specifically hit back very strongly on that and said that it demonstrated that the union is not willing to really work earnestly to reach a deal with these companies. So on the heels of that, and now GM and Stellantis being the two companies targeted, the responses from the companies today were not great. They reiterated that they feel the union is not in a position where they're willing to strike a deal, and they also emphasized that the proposals that they've put forward are some of the most generous in decades that they've ever made to the union.
With all that said, what happens next?
Well, Sean Fain, the union president, has so far kept us guessing. I mean, Analysts were predicting that this most recent round of shutdowns would be large assembly plants. The union took a completely different approach. So it's really hard to say what the union's next move will be. What we can say is that Ford appears to be making more progress, and that could mean that a deal is on the horizon in the next week or two for the company. For GM and Stellantis, it appears that an end is not in immediate sight, and we could see more plant closures at these two companies in the coming days or weeks.
Auto industry reporter Nora Eckert. Nora, thanks for joining me. In Texas, the mayor of Eagle Pass declared a state of emergency this week as a few thousand migrants enter daily, overwhelming federal border agents and the community's only shelter. It could not be determined why so many migrants are entering Eagle Pass at this particular moment. It could be related to the fact that the city is next to one of the safer stretches of border on the Mexican side, and the Rio Grande is relatively shallow in the area. Our reporter Alicia Caldwell is in Eagle Pass. She says communities along the entire southwest border are reporting similar occurrences of large numbers of migrants coming in.
In San Diego, the releases have stretched to the point where local charities don't have any more room. Shelters are full, and migrants are in fact being dropped in some cases at a trolley station near the border. In Arizona, in the Tucson sector, Border Patrol agents are also releasing migrants to a local church, which is then coordinating with aid groups in the more populated sections of the state, including Tucson and Phoenix, to shuttle those migrants from border communities into those larger hubs and help those folks navigate their way across the United States.
Senator Bob Menendez and his wife Nadine were indicted in a sweeping bribery scheme today. Federal prosecutors allege the New Jersey Democrat accepted hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash and gifts in exchange for using his office to enrich three businessmen and aid the government of Egypt. The pair were charged with conspiracy to commit bribery, honest services fraud, and extortion. The senator, in a written statement, said he was the victim of an active smear campaign. A lawyer for the senator's wife said she denies any criminal conduct. A representative of the Egyptian embassy in Washington didn't immediately respond to requests for comment. The charges brought by the Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office mark the second time Menendez has faced public corruption charges. An earlier case 8 years ago fell apart. Coming up, the U.S. economy's prospects of a soft landing are getting a boost from an unexpected source, a historic rise in immigration. That's after the break.
This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Eaton Vance High Yield ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find smart bond selection from a specialized team with deep fixed income expertise. Get to know what's inside EVHY, the symbol of high yield done right, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
The inflow of foreign-born workers is rising briskly. The U.S. is catching up on a backlog of visa applications, and the Biden administration has accelerated the issuance of work permits. That's helping ease labor shortages and upward pressure on wages and prices. The upshot? A soft landing could be more likely, as the fresh labor makes it a bit easier for the Federal Reserve to bring inflation down without a significant rise in unemployment. Economics reporter Amara Omakwe has the story, and she joins me now. Hey, Amara.
Hi.
So the inflow of foreign-born workers had slowed before and especially during the pandemic. How has that changed more recently?
So what we've seen more recently is that the number of foreign-born workers has really started to rebound. So it plummeted during the Trump administration and early on in the pandemic for a variety of reasons, including that many U.S. consulates around the world were closed. But now we see it rebounding, and that's really helping ease some of the labor shortages that many employers started to experience as we came out of the pandemic because of workers retiring, because workers had COVID, because workers were switching jobs a lot.
And which sectors seem to be benefiting most from this?
So it's sectors where foreign-born workers tend to work. So that includes areas like construction, areas like services, like leisure and hospitality. That's where we're seeing a lot of foreign-born labor gravitate towards, as they usually do. And those industries also have seen above-average wage gains.
How does this boost in foreign workers increase the chances of a soft landing for the U.S. economy?
Well, what the Federal Reserve is trying to do is they're trying to bring down inflation without sending the economy into a recession. So since last year, the Federal Reserve has raised interest rates several times. And the idea there is to basically slow the economy a little bit. And that, in theory, should help to ease price pressures. And we have seen that happening. We've seen inflation really cool down from its recent peak in 2022. One of the things the Federal Reserve is looking for is for the labor market to also cool down. They want to see wage growth cool a little bit. They want to see a better balance between the supply of labor and demand from employers. And so as immigrants and foreign-born workers help to ease these labor shortages, that aids the Fed in its fight to bring down inflation.
I've been joined by economics reporter Amara Amokwe. President Biden has told Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky he is willing to provide Ukraine with advanced long-range surface-to-surface missiles known as ATACMS. That's according to U.S. officials, who said a small number of missiles will be sent in coming weeks and more could be provided later. Ukraine has long sought the missiles, which are fired from a mobile launcher that can strike far behind front lines. To address the U.S. fears of escalation, Ukrainian officials signal that they are prepared to offer assurances that the ATACMS won't be used to strike Russian territory. In business news, Amazon said it plans to start running ads in shows and movies on its Prime Video platform. That makes it the latest streaming service to turn to advertising amid mounting losses in the sector. In a blog post today, the company said it would play ads for U.S. viewers beginning early next year, and that it would offer an ad-free option to Prime members for an extra $2.99 a month. The latest soccer video game by Electronic Arts hits stores next week. But there's something different about this year's installment. What would normally have been called FIFA 24 is now EA Sports FC 24. After 30 years of branding partnership, Electronic Arts and FIFA, the sports governing organization, did not come to terms last year on a new deal. Heard on the Street columnist Dan Gallagher joins us. Dan, just how valuable is this franchise for EA?
The estimates are that it produces now over $4 billion a year in revenue. You know, when you look at both the sales of the game in stores and online downloads, plus the recurring revenues from the various online mechanisms like Ultimate Team and that, this is EA's biggest game franchise. And it's one of the largest recurring video game franchises that has numbers that are maybe not quite to the level of Call of Duty, but are basically in that sort of ballpark.
So will this big branding change work out for Electronic Arts?
You know, I think it will, although it's definitely not without risk. When you think about a game that's been established for 30 years, and now it's generating more than $4 billion in annual revenue. It's their biggest franchise ever. So any kind of rebrand, especially like something like this, is going to carry risks. But there are good reasons why EA will be able to kind of manage and mitigate those risks. They're expected to spend about $1 billion in this calendar year, and that's well above what they typically have. This game has more than 150 million active players. They're involved in, you know, the various online versions and so forth. It sells more than 20 million units a year. So it has a very large player base. And for a game that comes out annually and people are really hooked on that, I don't see a lot of them leaving just because of the name change.
And even without the FIFA name, EA is hanging on to one big advantage in that when you play the game, you get to play with players and teams from the real world.
That's super crucial to this, because what they lost when they weren't able to come to an agreement with FIFA was the ability to use the name FIFA. That's really all they lost, because everything else in the game that people value, the ability to have the real teams and the real players in real venues, that's all governed by more than 300 different agreements the company has with all these entities. And those are still enforced. So theoretically, another video game publisher that made some deal with FIFA to launch a game called FIFA would not have anything like that. So that would be a very long haul for a competitor to really kind of match this game, even if they had the name.
That was Heard on the Street columnist Dan Gallagher. And finally, it's Friday, but the last day of the work week doesn't have quite the punch it used to. Since the pandemic gave way to hybrid work between the office and home, many people are choosing to wrap up their work at home. That's turning the office into a ghost town and making traditions like Casual Friday kind of pointless. So what are work Fridays good for now? Wall Street Journal contributor Alexander Samuel says it's all about flexibility.
For focused work, even when you're working remotely, people talk about all the interruptions from video calls and how hard it is to get to core work that requires more concentration. Friday should be that day. Friday could be a day where we say, you know what? No meetings, no calls. Fridays are a work day if you need the time, if you need that focused, uninterrupted window to get your work done. But if you're somebody who would rather work late on Thursdays, work harder on the other days of the week, maybe Friday is more of a flex day and you take some of that time to do personal errands when it's a little quieter. Maybe you move some of your work to Saturday, because after all, if you're not doing meetings, you know, why do I care as your boss whether you're putting those hours in on a Friday or over the weekend?
And before we go, a correction on something we said in this morning's episode. The UK's Competition and Markets Authority will be consulting markets on Microsoft's proposed restructured deal with Activision until October 6th. An earlier version of that episode incorrectly said October 8th. And that's what's news for this week. Today's show was produced by Anthony Bansi. What's News is hosted by Anne-Marie Fertoli and Luke Vargas, with guest hosts this week Shelby Holliday, Sabrina Siddiqui, and myself, Pierre Bien-Aimé. Additional support this week from Ariana Osperu, Jessica Fenton, and J.R. Whalen. Our supervising producers are Sandra Kilhoff and Michael Kosmides. Aisha Al-Muslim is our development producer. Scott Salloway and Chris Sinsley are our deputy editors. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back with a new show on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.